Good evening. We'd like to thank all of you for coming and participating tonight as we commemorate the third yard site of Chaim Yisachar. I'd like to briefly give you an update on Project Yichi. Before Chaim's Patira, he very much wanted to assist cancer patients who were having financial problems and could not managed to pay their rent or mortgage while they were undergoing cancer treatments. Thus, Project Yichi was established with Chaim's bracha. Unfortunately, he was nifter before the project could assist anyone. Since his last yard site last year, we have now obtained our own 501c3, and we are distributing funds to cancer patients while they are undergoing treatments. To date, just this year alone, we have assisted about 35 families, ranging from locations such as LA, Ohio, Florida, Wisconsin, Muncie, Brooklyn, Queens, Israel, and our own backyard, Bergen County. This year alone, since January, we have distributed about $125,000. And my friends, unfortunately, we have applications to process. I would be remiss if I didn't thank and mention the Project Yichi tablecloths, the gemach for the Project Yichi tablecloths, and all those volunteers who assist with this most important project to help us raise money to assist these families. We greatly appreciate their help. Envelopes and brochures are outside on the table as you walk out. May the learning that we do this evening have an aliyah for Chaim Yisachar's neshama, as well as for my sister Dina Feigenbaum, who lost her father last night, Herbie Noble, Chaim Tzvi Ben Aaron, and Aliyah for Chaim Pesach Ben Mordechai as well. Many thanks once again for coming.
Very grateful to be able to host this evening Lili Nishmas Chaim Yisachar. Over the course of Shabbos, we discussed the Rashi at the very end of Parshas Metzora that explains that there was a bracha hidden in the difficulties of the person who has tzaras in his home, and that when he would take apart the walls of his home, he would find wealth inside. We raised the question why the Ribbono Shel Olam would give a bracha wealth through such a difficult scenario. And we suggested various answers. It occurred to me today as I was preparing for this evening, thinking about Chaim, and thinking about how as time goes on, we miss him more, and we miss his ability to bring happiness and bring simcha to people. Chaim was one of the unusual B'nai Ali of our neighborhood, and we saw him grow in depth and in his concern for Avodas Hashem. Chaim had the gift of being able to see through pettiness and ego and see through some of the unimportant parts of life. He had the ability to laugh at them and to take joy about the pnimi that was a core and important and real. I think that's the lesson one of the lessons of this Rashi. The Metzorah is a person who sees pettiness and criticizes it. He sees ego and he censures it. And as a result, he lives a life of negativity and a life which is destructive. And the Rosh Hashanah is saying, you could have the same koach, the same insight. You could see the same things as Chaim was able to see. And dismiss pettiness, and dismiss that which is shallow with laughter. And then prize that which is important and take joy out of that which is everlasting and which we can build. It's a great kavod this evening to welcome Rav Moshe Weinberger to our community. He's an individual who has brought to the American scene, and probably far beyond, a sense of his service, a sense of concern, a sense of being able to see beyond some of the shallowness that often overtakes us and often grabs so much of our attention and energy. And by doing so, he is one of the great inspiring voices. I had the privilege of watching Rav Weinberger 2 days a week at Yeshiva, where he is unflaggingly spending time with Talmidim, one after the other after the other. And in each Talmud, he's discovering the Pnimi, he's discovering the inner core, and helping the Talmud see it, and helping the Talmud take joy and build in that. And therefore, it's with a great sense of privilege that I bring to you Rav Weinberger.
First, I want to thank my dear friend, the Rav, for having me back. I didn't expect to be invited again after last time. A person who's learning, whose love of learning and love of the Talmidim is an inspiration to me, to everybody else. You're very fortunate to have such a Rav and Rebbetzin, such people. Continue to lead you, Mr. Shemin, to bring you to Yerushalayim. I want to thank the entire Mishpacha. Every now and then, I meet people and Chaim Yisachar's name comes up. Besides the regular people that I know are bound to him and to his memory, and there are certain people that when a name is mentioned, even after that neshama has been separated from the guf, when the name is mentioned, even now there's such joy, there's such simcha in remembering him. The family should have more and more nechama and more hischazkes. These are people who are not just remembering, but they're doing for others. And that's the greatest chus in the world. You should be able to continue in good health, Mitzchan, to do for others. And that's the biggest nachas wilch you can give to Chaim Yisachar. I want to talk to you about the month of Iyar. I want to talk to you about what Iyar means, what we can accomplish, the koach of the month. We have a Kabbalah from the Kadmonim, goes very, very far back, that the word Iyar stands for the Oisiyas, the Rosh HaTeiva stands for Ani Hashem Rofecha. Ani Hashem Rofecha. I am Hashem who heals you. Ani Hashem Rofecha. There's a tremendous hashpah of refuahs and yeshuahs at this time of the year. We just finished the week of Tiferes. You all know that every week of Sivus HaOmer is filled with the light of one of the Midas of Hashem. We're now in the world of Netzach. Maybe if there's time at the end, I'll talk a little bit about Netzach. But the Midah of Tiferes. Tiferes, Pe'er, the root word of Tiferes is Pe Aleph Reish, Pe'er. And Pe'er is the same Oisius, the same letters as the word Reish Pe Aleph, Rafa, which is Refuah, healing, a cure. Now the Pasuk, Ani Hashem Rofecha, I am Hashem who heals you, that Pasuk, you all know, is found at the end of the story of Kriyas Yamsuf, of the splitting of the sea, that we just read by Shvi Shal Pesach. That miracle, that singular event of Kriyas Yamsuf concludes with a promise of refuah, of health. Kamach l'shasach m'mitzrayim l'yosim alecha, k'ani Hashem roifecha. That means that the tachlis, the whole tachlis of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of Kriyas Yamsuf, of the shir, of the song, of crossing through the Yam, is to come to those beautiful words, Ani Hashem Rofecha. I am Hashem who heals you. Ani Hashem Rofecha. Refuas HaNefesh, a healing of the soul. Refuas HaGuf, a healing of the body. In the Shira, Neira Sihilois Oisei Fela. Pela. Neira Sihilois Oisei Fela, the greatest wonder of all, is contained in the words that we say many times over the course of a week and every day. And we begin in the morning with Asher Yotzeh and the Bracha, that Hashem is Rofei Kol Boso Umafli Lasos. The greatest Pella, the greatest wonder, is that Chibur, is that Kesher between the body, the Guf, and the Neshama. And the words of Ani Hashem Reifecha contain within them that promise that Hashem will sustain that relationship between the body and the soul. And the Pele of Oise Pele is Reife Kolboso Umafli Lasais. Now, I don't really know much about the Inyan of Refuah Saguf. I never studied medicine. It's a very, very big sugya. I'm sure there are doctors here and others in that the field of medicine who have a sense of the complexity of the guf. I have spent many years studying the neshama. Regarding that relationship between the neshama and the guf, between the soul and the body, There's a famous saying that's attributed to the Tzemach Tzedek, that chur katan beguf hu chur gadol b'neshama. That when the body is not well, and when there's surfaces on the body, a sign of sickness, it means that the sheresh, the root of every sickness, is that there's something deep inside that needs to be healed. We just went through the parashiyos of Tazria Mitzarev. The Targum translates Mitzarev Saraz as Sagiru. There is something inside that is imprisoned. There is something unhealthy that surfaces on the guf, on the body, in that form of the nega. So this teaching of the tzaddik, that when there's a small hole in the guf, it's a siman that there's a cavity, that there's some gaping hole deeper inside. It means that relationship between the neshama and the guf is a relationship that depends upon not just the body being well. And many of us spend a great deal of time, understandably, worrying about our physical health and our physical well-being. The Tzemach Tzedek's famous descendant, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Shlusi Aleinu, said many times, "Mein inyan is hagbaras hatzura alachayim." Mein inyan, the inyan of my life, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, and the purpose of all of my teaching is to strengthen the tzura, to strengthen the inner soul, the tzura, the essence of the person. Hagboras hatzura alachomer. The Rav was speaking about pnimius, and we're living in a world of shidchius, of shallowness, where everybody's obsessed with the outside, with the skin, with the tzaras that has surfaced, with the negoyim of life. When the Rebbe said that mein inyan is hagbaras hatzura halachomer, the Rebbe was saying, of course I'm worried about the guf, but mein inyan, the inyan of life, is how to strengthen the inner content, how to strengthen to find the refuas hanefesh, and that somehow through that refuas hanefesh, through healing the deeper part of who we are, the essence of who we are, and to strengthen the tzura, our connection to the meaning of life, to the chelik elokom imal, to that part of God that is inside each and every one of us, that somehow through that refuas hanefesh, we can come to refuas haguf. I learned a remarkable thing this past summer, and I talk about these things all the time. Last year I had a terrible, terrible backache. And I know compared to other illnesses, that's very, very minor, but it could be quite debilitating. And I couldn't move. I had never felt such a thing in my life. I couldn't move. And there were a number of treatments that were attempted. And somebody had suggested to me, none of them were really working, and somebody had suggested to me a certain mahalach. I don't know if any of you heard of it. There's a famous physician, Dr. Sarna, Jonathan Sarna. Now, I don't know what other doctors think of this Dr. Sarna, but the mahalach of Dr. Sarna was basically to be magbir, to strengthen one's way of thinking, how to think of the illness, or how to think of that problem, and had to focus on and have to focus. He doesn't use the word soul or neshama. I don't believe he's Jewish. And he wasn't talking, he wasn't using the vocabulary of Torah, of course. But the message was the same message. That inside of you there's a certain koach. And the human being has an unbelievable capacity through strengthening the inner content of who he is to be able to bring, with Hashem's help, refuah saguf as well. I can only say that for me personally, after 3 days of focusing on that, I was able to walk, I was able to function, Baruch Hashem. I know others would discredit that, but it worked for me. At the very beginning of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told man, Ata Timshal means to rule over the snake, to rule over the goof. Rashi says, Im Tirtzet is Gabrielov. What's missing most in our lives is that we're not strengthening the inner will. We're not strengthening the nefesh, the neshama. The illnesses, the sicknesses that appear on the surface are often a reflection of something else inside that we're not addressing. So the question is, if ER, the letters Aleph, Yud, Resh, if ER means Ani Hashem Reifecha, what is the refuah that ER is offering us? What is the healing, what is the cure of the month of ER? So we need to go back to Kriyas Yamsuf. Since the Chasima of Kriyas Yamsuf, the conclusion of Kriyas Yamsuf, is Ani Hashem Reifecha, it means that there was a certain sickness that we acquired over the years of Galus in Egypt. And this is a sickness that we're still suffering from now. And that as a result of Yam Suf, Hashem is Baruch said, I'm offering you a refuah to this sickness. Now what is the sickness? First we have to identify the illness. There's a certain machla, that I guess in Hebrew we would call it machlas haredifa. Machlas haredifa means that the Jewish people were running by Yivrach Ha'am. We were escaping from Mitzrayim. And there's no question that when a person is in danger, he has to run away from that danger. But there is such a thing in life, not only with an individual, but even with the people, that even after the time that the Radifa has concluded, one still feels that he's being pursued. One still feels that he's in danger. Because Lamaisa, what happened by Kriyas Yamsuf was the Torah says, Vayar ha'om es Mitzrayim meis al svas haya. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to see with our eyes that the enemy has been destroyed. That you no longer have to run. Hashem is Baruch Hu saying, Yidden, Chevre, it's okay. It's alright. The Egyptians are no longer chasing you. I have destroyed your enemy. Vayar ha'om es Mitzrayim meis al svas hayom. And Shvi shel Pesach, the last day of Pesach, was the Yeshua from the enemy that was chasing us, from the enemy that was pursuing us. So Hashem is Baruch was saying, you don't have to be afraid anymore. Now all of that happened in the month of Nisan, that's the seventh day of Pesach. So the question is, then what is the meaning of ER and Ani Hashem Reifecha? If after Yamsuf was finished, and the Egyptians washed up on the shore? Why was it necessary to continue on to reassure us, to strengthen us by saying, so again, just like I don't know anything about medicine, I don't know anything about psychology. But there's something in life, it's being used very often now. It's called post-traumatic stress disorder. I asked one of my children if she could just find on the computer a simple definition of that, because I was thinking about that when I was thinking really last week about coming here. Because this community, and every Jewish community, is traumatized when a precious child is lost. The family has been traumatized. Now that word trauma is being used very liberally these days. I had a girl last year who told me she was traumatized because she was working on her nails for 3 months and then it broke. The word is used very liberally. But I think l'chol hadayis, when a child is lost, if we think upon for a moment what happened in Flatbush a few weeks ago by the Sassoon family, that we can't be masig what that means. For an entire family to be taken up in the fire, Ashreifa Asher Sarav Hashem. In the definition that my daughter found on the computer, it just says this, that post-traumatic stress disorder may develop after a person is exposed to one or more traumatic events such as major stress, sexual assault, terrorism, or other threats on a person's life. The diagnosis may be given when a group of symptoms such as disturbing recurring flashbacks, avoidance or numbing of memories of the event, continue for more than a month after the occurrence of a traumatic event. So, Chevy, you all know that just because the Egyptians washed up on the shore doesn't mean that the Jewish people stopped running. I think we've been running for thousands of years. Just because the Nazis no longer exist, at least in the open, and just because the Holocaust has ended, doesn't mean that my parents have stopped running. And those of you who are children of survivors, or if there are any survivors here, the Vayivrach Ha'am after the Holocaust didn't end at liberation. So just because the Egyptians were killed, and the immediate threat of Mitzrayim ended, the truth is that when the Mitzri dies, just like when the Nazi dies, it doesn't mean that there aren't flashbacks. It doesn't mean that you're not haunted by memories. I've mentioned more than once in public that I grew up sleeping with a pillow wrapped around my ears, because there were times that I would hear the terrifying nightmares of my parents. I just went, Lo Aleinu, to a shiva call by a friend of ours the other day, whose mother had passed away. spent 3 years in Auschwitz and Birkenau, and then she was suffering at the end of her life with dementia. And the woman told my wife and I, the woman was saying that she was davening the whole time, "Please, Rabbi Shalom, it's enough that my mother went through that once. Don't put her through it again." Because as you know and you've heard, what often happens is that at a stage in life when a person forgets everything else that has occupied the mind in good ways, children, eniklach, business, learning, but when everything else in life begins to fall apart, sometimes the only thing you're left with is the Nazi. And she told us she was begging Hashem, "Please, please don't put mommy through that again. It's enough that she was there for those years." Over the years of talking to young people, I've dealt many, many times with individuals who are 30, 40 years old and they're still running from their parents, from a father or from a mother. And every single thing they do in life is colored by that trauma of an unhappy home. This machla, this sickness, that continues on beyond the death of the mishabed, of the one who enslaved you, of the one who beat you. I've mentioned many times when we were building the shul in Woodmere, so there were beautiful stained glass windows that were being installed, the colors of the shvatim, beautiful windows. And my father insisted every single week that I should bring him to see the shul, and I would take him for a tour of the latest developments in the construction. And when the windows were installed, my father said, "What are you doing?" So I said, "What's wrong? They're beautiful." My father said, they're going to break them. I said, "Who's going to break them?" I thought he meant the children are going to. I said, they're on top of me. "No, they're going to break them. The goyim are going to break the windows." That's only an example. Every day of my life, today, I was with my parents, and there was something that my mother said, I'm not going to share it with you. And I said to my wife when I came, I said, "Rabbi Shalom, you know, it's already so many years. It's so many years. My mother was in Auschwitz. It's so many years. She's still running. She can't even walk anymore, but she's still running. She hasn't stopped running." What about situations, Lo Aleinu? I would love to say that it's not part of our world, but what about situations where children are molested? Hashem Yirachem. Whatever therapy is given, and as much help is given, in a situation where this child, either as a child or as an adult, is able to admit that, to confront that. I have a mishpacha of mine who was molested over the course of 7 summers in a very frum camp in the mountains. Was one of the most promising young Talmid Chacham in Yerushalayim. When he remembered what happened, when he allowed that memory somehow to return into his consciousness, he was broken. And he is still in a million pieces. Hashem Yirachem. So, Chevra, you understand that this machla, this sickness, or even after the sickness ends, even after the child has passed on, and many kaddishim have already been uttered, the machla doesn't just go away. Because the nefesh, the soul of a person, is frightened and has been wounded so deeply. So there's a matziv in life that even after Mitzrayim has been eliminated, and after the diagnosis in a certain situation is a good diagnosis, what does it feel like for a person who wasn't well? And thank God, he's doing well, she's doing well, the diagnosis is good, and the doctors reassure the person that emits from everything is well. So what happened to the machla? The machla is quiet. The machla has become submissive, still, quiet. What does it mean to live with the fear? Once a person has faced the Malach HaMoves, once you've seen those horrible eyes of the Malach HaMoves, it really doesn't help if someone tells you, you're okay, everything is fine. You know how many times I've said to my mother, this also happened today. My mother wanted to talk to me about something. It wasn't really a personal inyan, but there was always this calling me over to a quiet place somewhere and to whisper to me, and I didn't understand. There's nobody here except me and my son, who I'm sure that can be trusted. But there was always this shushking, you know? I was looking over your shoulder. Everything is a secret. So the fact that the Mitzri is dead, and the fact that this enemy, the Nazi, the Mitzri, the molester, the horrible parent of the horrible Rebbe, is now only in the imagination and in the memory of the victim. And even the fact that the sickness, that the illness is just in the memory of the sufferer, doesn't mean that the one who has suffered has stopped running. So here, Rabbi Sai, I was thinking that maybe the Rabbi Shalom is trying to tell us something, how to help us with this post-traumatic disorder. Because as far as the trauma itself is concerned, that ended in the month of Nisan. Shvi Shel Pesach, the Egyptians, the Nazis, died. Geendig. The Baruch Shalom said to us, look, everything's okay. You don't have to run. You don't have to look back. Stop thinking about it. It's fine. They're not going to bother you anymore. The bad people are gone. Just keep on going to Har Sinai. You have a lot to look forward to. Keep on going to Yerushalayim. Dabar el bnei Yisrael v'yisov. Weiter. Just go weiter. Like I was at a shiva a few years ago. Lo aleinu was at a shiva of a young man who had lost his wife and was left with three children. And there was somebody who meant well and said, I was sitting there, he said, you know, there are things you have to be very, very careful. And he said he didn't know what he was saying, but he said, you're a good looking guy, you're a young guy, there are a lot of nice girls out there, don't worry, it'll be fine. This is the day after the Levaya. And you heard like a gasp in the room, everyone, oh. That's like Nichum Avelim 001 failed. And he realized that, he's, you know, because everybody just looked at him. And he said, I mean to say that you should have a big nechama. I remember exactly, it was a bid, come back. I don't... Only that person knows the pain. This machla, this sickness of post-trauma, of after the show is done, of after the curtains have closed, after everybody went home after shiva, and everybody paid their respects and their dues, and everybody said the right words, the right words. Hamoki menachem eschem. And we should only go to simchas together. And Hashem Yisboch should give you long, healthy years, and to have nachas from the children, and from the einiklach, and from the ur einiklach. You should never ever know from any tzar. So what should the person tell you? Even if I don't know from any other tzar, even if I'm exempt from any future tzar, hayeshmach oiv kemach oivi, I'm never ever free from the tzar of what I remember. So is it possible to have some yeshua from that tzar? That's what I want to address. This is the Sefer now, Chelik Beis. It'll be shorter than Chelik Aleph. Is there a Yeshua? Again, I don't know psychologically, I don't know if medically, I don't know what the terutzim are. And I know that there are ways to treat this disorder. I understand that. And I respect that field. And I've seen tremendous things, tremendous, tremendous things that people are able to accomplished with good therapy, good counseling, tremendous. Velukim yevakesh es nirdav. Shlomo Melech said, Velukim yevakesh es nirdav. Hashem seeks out those who are being pursued. That doesn't just mean that Hashem has brought roots for the underdog. Lakim Yavakesh is needed if that Hashem feels bad for the Mets or something like that. I don't know how they're doing this year. I'm assuming they're not doing well. Maybe I'm wrong. I didn't hear. Are they? I don't know. I'm an old Yankee fan. So there are those who, over the years, would come to believe that it must be that the Baruch Shalom loves the Mets because they're so terrible and they lose all the time. So Lakim Yavakesh is needed. There's a Nirdav from the Baruch Shalom has Rachmanis on Nirdav. He has a warm place in his heart for the underdogs. It's not just that. Oh, I'm sure that's true. But Lakim Yavakesh is Nirdav means more than that. If the Pasuk Ani Hashem Rofecha is addressing the Jewish people after the Egyptians have already been killed, and Hashem Yisboch is telling us that the month of Iyar, which is post-trauma, after Nisan, after the Egyptians are killed, after the molester was put away for 50 years. Doesn't happen too often. Hashem Yisboch says, Ani Hashem Reifecha. I'm here and I'm offering you a refuah to bring you out of that state of misery that you're in after the liberation from Auschwitz. After the sickness has concluded and you're frightened and you don't want to share that with other people, you're frightened about the possibility of being revisited, Chalila, by that sickness. This person who I know many such young people, he's already not young anymore, but this particular relative of mine who was molested for all of those years, he moved far away from New York. But he told me that wherever he goes, he's afraid he's going to meet that person. Every store he walks into, he moved to a place where you don't see a yid. And he's afraid that he's going to meet this guy, that the guy's after him. to be 25 years after that. Is there a possible way to somehow contend with that miserable sickness of being a nirduf, of being pursued your whole life? The sickness of vayivrach, of running away, of escaping. I believe, as a side note, that much of the shallow diplomacy that our own people sometimes engage in with the non-Jewish world, and the whole matziv in Eretz Yisrael, has a lot to do with the fact that we're near Dafim and that we haven't stopped running, and we're afraid to turn around and to face the enemy and to acknowledge, to understand who the enemy is. It's a different discussion. But the month of Iyar is reaching out and saying, after Nisan is over, after the Mitzrayim washed up on the shore, and you're still running, Ani Hashem Roifech. How? What's the refuah for post-trauma? It's really a refuah for everything. The words we have to focus on are these: Ani Hashem, Ani Yudkei Vovkei. Think for a minute. Ani Hashem Reifecha. Now, in these parashiyas that we're in now, we're coming now to the parashiyas Achrimois Kedoshim. Over and over, we're going to meet up with those words, Ani Hashem. V'yireisem Elokecha, Ani Hashem. And of course, Rashi and Chazal tell us, why is it necessary for Hashem to repeat those words? Ani Hashem. So in Parshas Emor, I dafka want to point out how it's used in Parshas Emor. There, in the context of the Torah talking about the punishment of being cut off from Hashem, it's talking about somebody who eats kodshim betumah. So there the Torah tells us, V'nichrisa ha'nefesh ahimi lefonai, that soul is cut off from before me. Ani Hashem. Now listen carefully. Rashi explains over there, what's the purpose of Ani Hashem in this pasuk? So Rashi says, that when it says V'nichrisa, the person might think that my punishment is Golus. Then what? Rashi brings down. Then maybe V'nichrisa means that I'm cut off from this place. Mitzadzeh letzadzeh. And he thinks that perhaps Yikareis mimkaimai, that maybe it means I'm just cut off from one place. V'yisyashev b'mokim acher. That I can leave place A and I can move to place B. And maybe that's called being cut off from Hashem. Talmud Loimer, Ani Hashem. Rashi says, Ani Hashem b'chol mokam ani. B'chol mokam ani. Wherever you go, wherever you run, wherever you are in this world, b'chol mokam ani. It's me. The Holy Baditshiva had a song, Dudala. A song to Dudala. Hashem's do. Everywhere I turn, it's only you, it's only you. B'chol mokam ani Hashem. Mizruch, Mairav, Tzofim, Dorum. Do. There was a great tzaddik whose yahrzeit is Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And his name is Reb Mendel Vitebske. Schus Yegei Eleni was one of the great Talmidim of the Mizritcha Magid, one of the Gedolei HaChasidus who led the Aliyah of the Chasidim from the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov and settled in Tveria, and he's buried in Tveria. A Goyin HaKodesh, Reb Mendel Vitebske. In Parshas Shoftim, there's a little Torah there from Rav Mendler, where he's explaining the very odd thing that the Gemara tells us that Hillel, Hazokin, that Hillel would say at the time of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. In the midst of the celebration, do you remember what he used to say? Imani? Imani kan hakol kan. If I'm here, then everybody is here. So of course the Mefarshim go wild with this. Since Hillel was known as the most humble person in the world, that was his greatest midah was humility. So what could he possibly have meant when he said, if I'm here, then everybody's here? Emani kan hakol kan. You and I know people like that, the ani kan. And the second they walk into the room, you want to be not hakol kan, you want to leave. And Hillel's the most humble person, he says, Emani kan, hakol kan. So the Rav Mendel Vitevka says, it says in the Zohar called the Shechinta, the Ikreani. One of the code words for the Shechina, for the Divine Presence, in that, with that quality of the Shechina of a mother who never, ever, ever leaves the child, is Ani. Shechinta, the Ikreani. And Hillel HaZokin was saying, Imani kan, Imani kan hakol kan. That means the only way that I can be with everybody else and love every Jew and see a tzaddik for who he is, and even to see good in the Rosha, and not to see myself as being greater than anybody else, is because I am every moment of my life living in a world where I feel ani kan. Shechinta de ikri ani. The Shechina is called ani. But then Rav Mendel goes on, he says the following. Listen carefully. And with this, I'll conclude. My first conclusion. Rav Mendel Vitevka says, Shivisa Hashem Lenegdi Somed, Dovid HaMelech said, right, Shivisa Hashem Lenegdi Somed. But I always place Hashem before me. It's written on all the on standards, on the Amudim everywhere, Shivisa Hashem Lenegdi Somed. Many people have it in the Siddur. Shivis Hashem Lenegdi Somed. Rav Mendel Vitevka learns the following. Shivisi means that a person is able to have Shabius HaNefesh. Shabius HaNefesh means that I'm able to be strong. I'm able to have in my life a certain sense of balance, of equilibrium, even though I've been through many things. Why? Shivisa Hashem Lenegdi Samin. Remember what Vitebska says, that Lenegdi Samin means, because I believe in even those things that are against me, there too, Ani Hashem. What does that mean? So it says in the Svarim, that before Mashiach comes, the Pasuk says, Uvikshu Es Hashem Elokeyim Ves David Malkam. That we want very much to have a connection to David HaMelech. We want to come back to Hashem and we want to connect deeply to David HaMelech, to David Malkim Mashiach. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. The inyan of David HaMelech is that every single moment of his life he went through a lot of hardships. And you know what? If you even said to him in the most simple way, you see that his life was a life of constant redifus. He was persecuted, he was chased, he was hunted down by those who supposedly loved him most. Not by Egyptians, not by Nazis, by his own son, by Shaul HaMelech, whatever that means in his Madrega, who was his mentor, who was his Rebbe, his role model, who he loved, who he adored. And he was hunted down. He was running. His whole life was a redifa. And when he was finished with the redifas of physical antagonists, then throughout Tehillim there's the redifa within himself, the Yetzer Hara, the redifa of that darker side. And it says in Navi that when Shimi ben Gera, when he cursed David HaMelech, so you know that everybody wanted to take care of Shimi ben Gera. And David HaMelech said, Hashem amar lo yikalel. Hashem is the one who told him to curse me. That doesn't mean that person did do something wrong. It doesn't mean that the Egyptian is off the hook. It doesn't mean that the Nazi's not ratting. And you know that at the end of his life, part of the tzavah was that Shlomo HaMelech has to take care of Shimi ben Gera. But that recognition, that realization of Hashem Amar Lo Kalel means Shivisa Hashem L'Negdi doesn't only mean that I see Hashem, I feel Hashem's presence when things are going well. But even in the L'Negdi of my life, even when I'm living through something that is tormenting me, even when I've survived that and it's standing in front of me and it's opposed to me, it's L'Negdi. I'm filled with the emunah that somehow, in some mysterious way, Ani Hashem b'chol mokom ani. Ani Hashem roifecha. It means it's the same message I give in every single shiur that I've ever said over the past 33, 34 years. That I can tell you, I can come here, we can tell you all kinds of nice stories, I can tell you all kinds of psukim, how to put them together, and things that I've learned, and things that you've learned, and we can share them, and it's gewaldic to learn. But at the end of the day, if you and I are able to stand up tall, if we're able to stop running, if we're able to have some refuah, some yeshua, from the things that we've gone through in life, and the things that we go through in life, it's only the side of David Malkin Mashiach, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem is Reifecha. When you live in that way of Ani Hashem, that's what's missing in our lives. Shiurim about God. Von Hagnis Morgan. You speak Yiddish over here, right? Shiurim about God. Philosophical inquiries. All kinds of speculative investigations into Maimonides. Alegit Zachim, it's all good. I do that my whole life, just like you do. I enjoy that also. I enjoy excise. I enjoy nesivas. I enjoy good toises, a good bikiveige. I enjoy talking about God. But many, many years ago, there was someone who told me, stop talking so much about God, or continue to talk about God, but start talking to God. Ani Hashem Reifecha means that at the end of the day, Im Ani Kan, Ani Dosh Shchinti Ikri, then Hakol Kan. And if I didn't believe in that, then I wouldn't know how these survivors survive. And I wouldn't understand how my parents get up another day. But I know that my mother's old gazun saying that my mother, she talks to Hashem the way that you talk to a person that's standing in front of you. And that's how it always was. That's how I grew up. My mother says, Rabbi Shalom, I hope you don't mind. Even when she did something that she wasn't supposed to do. So I remember my mother once, there was something that was muktzah. My mother, I mean, I shouldn't say this in public. But my mother, this is an old style. I hope you understand that. So my mother moved and she says, Rabbi Shalom, Zomarchel's on. She moves the muktzah. And I remember saying, Ma, that's, you know, that's halach. And my father said, just, you know what, just be quiet. You know, I was in yeshiva and I was... Muktzamachmas, Mios, Muktzamachmas. My father says, you yourself are Muktza. Don't talk to your mother disrespectfully. And my mother says, the bunch was a Marchalzan. Sitting on the middle of the Shabbos table, you know. I'm not suggesting, God forbid, anybody does that. You understand. But there's a personal relationship. I mean, you have to be careful. That should be within certain boundaries. And my mother is a halachic Jew. Ani Hashem. B'chol mokam ani. Em ani kan, hakol kan. After Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Egyptians wash up, and we're still running, we're still running, we're still running. At the end of the day, the Rebbe Shlom says, Chevre, kol machle shanti mitzrayim lo'osim alacha, but I want to tell you something. That whatever the machle is, it's still going to run after you. There's only one way to get away from it. It's ani Hashem roifecha. Ani Hashem b'chol mokam ani. And Ani Hashem, I'm with you in everything. And if there's something you're going through, I haven't left you for a second. And there's some big, big, big inyan. And I'm not getting into anything philosophical now. There's some big inyan that's being worked out. Whatever that is, that's for nitzchias. for nifchis, forever, for you, for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, till the end of time. Whatever any Jew, even that girl that broke her nail, suffered from that. Pesach Sheni is coming up. And there the Torah tells us that there's a Jew who's Bederach Tomei, who's Bederach Rechaki, is far away. And you know, Rashi brings some Chazal, a shocking thing. What does it mean, far away? Of course it means literally far away. But Rashi brings down, it means Chutz Me'askupa Sa'azor. That means that the person is one step away from being inside the Beis HaMikdash. And that's called Bederach Rechaki, that he didn't bring the Korban Pesach. What's he, crazy? He couldn't already. He's Bederach Rechaika. Chutz Me'askupas Ha'azor. Listen to this sentence from the Kushan Samagi. Rotz Eloimer, if you look in Avodas Yisrael, Pesach Shem. Rotz Eloimer, Shahayir Rechaik Me'Hashem Yisbarach. Veni Yoch Eloimer Baruch Ata, Kashi Yidabri Isha Re'eyu Ponem Beponem. The Kushan Samagi says, you know what it means to live Bederach Rechaika? It means you can be by the Kaisel. But if when you say the words, Baruch Atah Hashem, you don't feel that Hashem is standing in front of you. You hear the words? Sheyerochi me'Hashem is Baruch, v'neyoch Eloima Baruch Atah, kashi yedabri ish al re'eyu ponim b'ponim. The way you're speaking to your best friend, to the person you love most, ponim b'ponim, that's called Derech Rechaika. Chutz ma'askupas ha'azor. You could be on the askupas ha'azor, you're standing by Beis HaMikdash. Not just the Kaisel, but by the Azor. And you're still defined as what? Bederach Rechaika. Far away. Because there's only one way to be close to God, and that's when you live a life that's called Ani Hashem. B'chol mokem ani. Im ani kan hakol kan. That's the source of Hillel Simcha. And Simcha's based on Shoyim, it's Im ani kan hakol kan. There's a little story. I mean, again, I'm sorry. I went over. You mark Zayin. It's a story about one of the Talmidim of Mendel Vitebsky, that one of his Hasidim was taking the journey to go to Vitebsk. As you know, that they had to travel great distances to go to the Tzaddik. And they went with great Mesiris Nefesh in those years. And this Chassid was schlepping to go to Vitebsk. And he came to a certain city, and the Rav of the city was watching him in shul, this visitor, this stranger, and he saw that he's not a poshuta person, by the way he davened and how he carried himself, he saw that he's a chosh of a person. So the Rav of the city went and he invited this stranger, this chosid of Mendel Vitebsky. The Rav was a misnagid, and in those years it wasn't always so clear by the way people dressed, and he invited this chosid to come home with him. And in the course of a conversation, the Rav sees this guy knows how to learn. He's a big Talmud Chacham. It's terrific. But what also emerges in the course of the conversation is that he's a chosid of Rav Mendel of Vitebsk. So the Rav was bothered by this. He's a misnagid. And the Rav said to him, you know, it says in the Mishnah, Aseilach HaRav. And there are very, very chosid Rabbanim near where you live, which the chosid understood that he was referring to himself. They're very choshev rabbanim near you. Why do you have to go all the way to Vitebsk in White Russia? So the chosid told him, I'm going to see a Jew who doesn't stop thinking for a moment that there's a God in the world. That's where I'm going. So the Rav, the Misnagid, yeah, he wasn't so nispal from that. You understand, there's no Rambam, there's no Ravid. He wasn't so dispelled from that terrorist. I'm going to a Rav that knows every moment, thinks that there's a God in the world. And okay, they were eating and they're talking, more in learning. And the Rav was making a little fun, and the Rav said, I heard that many of the Chassidim, that you have special powers, and your Rebbes have powers. Tell me, do you know what I'm thinking? The Rav asked the Chassid, do you know what I'm thinking? So the Chassid said, I think I know what you're thinking. So the Rav said, "What is?" He says, "I know, you're thinking, Shavis Hashem l'negdi son. You're thinking about Hashem's Baruch." And the Rav said, "No, I'm not." And the Chassid said, "That's exactly why I'm not staying here. That's exactly why I'm going to a Mendel of Vitebska, because I want to give my life into the hands of a person who lives every second with God. Ani Hashem, b'chol mokam ani." So, Rabbi Yisai, I know it sounds like a very simple medicine that I'm offering up, a very simple cure, or a very simplistic cure. And I began by telling you that we know that there are complications, and the body-soul connection is very complex. And the Lubavitcher said, "My inyan is to strengthen the neshama." All that means is to strengthen that awareness of Ani Hashem, b'chol mokam ani. That's missing so much from our lives. And at the end of the day, when we recognize that, when we are aware of that, then we'll experience that refuah, that yeshua. When I imagine what it's going to be like when Mashiach comes, I only have this reference point because of secrets and stories in my own family. So I'm going to share one with you, and I only remember this because one of the Balabatim in Shul reminded me of this yesterday. My father, after the war, like many of the Jews from that part of the world, my father was in Budapest after the war. He was in displaced person camp, and then I don't remember, he was first in Budapest and then the displaced person camp. No, I think he was in Budapest afterwards. And my father told me that in Budapest there's a beautiful main boulevard. I was never there. There's some big, big, beautiful boulevard. And he said that every single day there were thousands of Jews that were walking up and down this boulevard looking for other Jews, meaning looking for a friend or a relative. And that's what they did. My father said that's what we were doing all day, walking up and down. Now, my father, before the war, my father had three brothers. And my father had been given information that his brothers were killed. He had hope for the brother who's a year older than him. His name is Itzu. Yitzchak Olav Shalom was just his yahrzeit. He had hope that Itzu was still alive. But then he met one of Itzu's friends, who told him that he was there, and Itzu was no longer alive. So my father said that he had no longer parents, he no longer had his brothers. And he was walking every day there hoping to find a cousin or a friend, something, from his hometown. And he would go every day to the highest office, where they had a list of names people would sign in the office, the highest office, and they were looking to see if you could make shidduchim people. And my father said that he at that point had nobody in the world. He went every day, couldn't find a familiar name, didn't see anybody that he knew on the street. And then he said that he was walking on the street one day, and he said he's just doing by habit, he was walking. And he saw from the corner of his eye, he saw a familiar type of a walk. My uncle had a certain type of a walk. And they looked at each other at the same moment, and my father screamed, "That Itzu." And there were a lot of people there. And Itzu, my uncle, Olav Shalom, screamed, "That Machu." Machu is Marcha. Machu. You know, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be for the first time that we're not going to run anymore. We're not going to be running anymore. We're going to be back together with all the people that we love, with all the people that were taken from us, with all the people that left our lives, with all the people that we've heard stories about. We're not going to be fugitives anymore. On some big street, maybe, hopefully not in Budapest, but in Yerushalayim, some beautiful, beautiful place in Yerushalayim. You and Chaim Yisachar, the family with Chaim Yisachar, will embrace once again.
And all of us will be together once again. Mitzvah, Mishi Bizaych, for Rufus and Yeshuas, for Nechamas, Slon, Lukoy, Yisrael, the Gulash of Amitis, maybe I'm in a main event.